What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Rideshare Rodeo Gig News and Interviews. I'm your host, Steve. Let's get it on. Welcome, everybody, to the Rideshare Rodeo audio podcast number 344, getting up there. This week, my guest is Terry. Terry also runs a YouTube channel, Terry's Tips, Tricks, and Talk. If you are not familiar with Terry, you will be here soon. She's in the same market as me. We're both in the Denver market. And we'll talk about a few things today. But Terry, how are you?
I'm doing really good today. How are you today, yeah. Steve?
I'm good. I'm glad this whole eclipse thing's over, to be honest. That's one thing. I'm glad it's done. There's just too much weirdness around it. And hopefully everybody starts.
Everything's copacetic.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. People get weird around these eclipses. They do.
And yeah, they do.
So I don't know. I watched it. I watched part of it on TV, not from here, because I don't know about you, but I couldn't see anything in Denver.
There really wasn't much.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell. So,
I mean, maybe just a hair, but not really. Not really.
Yeah, not really. But okay. So I know that. I guess let's jump into a little bit, because I know you did your maiden voyage on the Zifty app today, correct?
I did.
Hopefully you did. I know that you were going to, so hopefully you did. And how did it go?
It went really good. So for Zifty, the app works. You can't sign on before a certain time, and they want you there within a 5-minute frame time. So the app is really designed that way. So you can't clock in early or pick up anything early. It's just kind of tells you exactly when and where, when they want you to log on. You know, they want you logged on like almost an hour before your first pickup. So,
right. Well, you only had one really though, right? Or no?
Yeah, I only had one this morning, and it was Mad Greens this morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But and then so, I have another one tomorrow and one for Thursday.
Oh, so you're already getting a decent amount too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, with the hour early, it's pretty much for listeners anyway, how I know it with all other catering apps, that's pretty much just kind of like how Curry does things. Like it's like a verification that, hey, you're still on with this,
still
right?
Ready. Yeah, exactly.
It's not like, I'm just pointing out to people, it's not like you're logging, especially to the audio listeners, it's not like you're logging in and you now an hour early have to start doing things to go. They're just still making sure you're doing this, right?
Yes, they do. Yes.
Like they're not GPS tracking you until they need to. They're not.
Exactly.
Like they're not saying, hey, it's an hour early. The pickup is 10 minutes away from you. Why aren't you there?
Nope, they're not doing that. The app is all right there for you. So you have to go right by the app. It won't allow. Yeah.
Right. And then I haven't used Zifty, but I know from Paraworks, from Delivered and the other ones that it's probably doing something when you said like 5 minutes or whatever. It's probably just saying like, hey, when you're at the location or 5 minutes prior to login.
Yeah,
is that what it was doing? Like you get to the location and I'm here.
Yeah, so I actually arrived at the location like probably 15 minutes early, and it won't let you say arrived.
Yeah,
but as soon as that time hits, it turns green. You hit arrived, you go in, you know, just like a regular DoorDash. And then when you deliver, it's kind of the same thing. You hit the button to take your picture.
Mm-hmm.
All that. So
was there anything in the app that said like that anything that led you to believe it was another carrier being carried out by Zifty? Like, was there Easy Cater or Food Fetch or any of those kind of words in there? Okay.
Nope. Not that I saw. I can look again the next time, but not that I saw.
They're no, that's, and that's good. Because that's, yeah, no, I mean, well, you can be transparent and still do, like, Cartwheel is an app that, or Cartwheel, people, it actually, I'm going to take this moment to explain this, because a lot of people are confused on Cartwheel. Even people who use it are confused on Cartwheel. So okay. Cartwheel is not like Zifty or Delivered. They're not running Cartwheel, and you contact Cartwheel and you say, hey, my delivery didn't go well or what. Cartwheel is a software company, and they sell that software to delivery companies.
Okay.
So there's like regional delivery companies who buy the software and the licensing for Cartwheel, and then they use Cartwheel to deploy their stuff. People get confused by that, because you would not call Cartwheel support if you have a Cartwheel issue. Okay. As weird as that is, you'd be calling like here in Colorado, we have two delivery services that use Cartwheel. So it can get a little confusing, because like to get on Cartwheel, you have to do one first, and then they contact you and say, hey, you should download Cartwheel. And they send you an invite code. And when you do, so like me now, I've worked with two different regional carriers, and I have Cartwheel downloaded once, but they're both in it. So mm-hmm. I leave it off most of the time. I'm just telling people, because I get a lot of people who are confused with Cartwheel. Okay. And so I thought this was a good interjection point to point out. Cartwheel is confusing, because if you do have two or three different catering or delivery type things that use Cartwheel in your area, they're all going to come through there. And whenever you turn it on, they do communicate with you a lot. So like I know that if I were to turn this on right now, that before we're done with this podcast, I would get an offer. But not only that, I'd get texts saying, okay. Are you sure you want? I mean, but I'll look at it and then they're like, can you please take this? We don't have another driver tonight. And I've said, oh, I'm home for the evening. I can't. And they've literally come back. They've offered me more money, or even some, I think on two different occasions, no extra money. But I've got can you just please do this? I just said I was home for the night. No. I mean, I'm a lot more cautious in my responses, but at the same time, that's why I did my understanding of Cartwheel, because I was very confused. I'm like, why is this company always bothering me anytime I turn it on?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be afraid. I want to be able to turn it on because there are offers in there, but I don't want them bothering me as much as they do.
Right.
So again, to anybody using it, don't think that it's Cartwheel. It behind any Cartwheel that you might be doing is a delivery company, and they're the ones bothering you.
So it's Zifty, but like on the app, it's Threads. It says Threads.
Okay.
On that. So,
I mean, yeah. So it might just be deliver that and some of the, delivered works pretty much heavily with EasyCater. So, I mean, even through Delivered, you're doing EasyCater through Deliver That. They'll say that you're all the time, you are just running these other food platforms, mm-hmm. but you just don't know it.
Okay.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's still transparent because they're showing you everything.
Right.
When it comes to transparency, I'm really just about, hey, are all the details I need in there? Where's the pickup? Where's the drop off? What time? And it's nice if you have, in my opinion, with catering, it's extremely nice. They don't have to do this, but it's so helpful. And it really does help you get some kind of better understanding of what you're getting into. It helps to have an order total or something that, so you know, is this $100 worth of food or $1,000? Right. Because that and should affect that your... Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So they do have an amount.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like all the catering apps are...
It is there.
Right. All the catering apps are pretty, as far as I know, are pretty transparent about the pay they're going to pay you. But I've heard people saying, oh my gosh, that one paid like $120. I should have just taken it. And I'm thinking, I know I won't bring up this specific app because there's nothing wrong with it. But I know that that app that they're talking about doesn't show you the amount of what you're taking. So it's like, I get what you're saying. It's a 8 mile job for $100. You're like $120, 8 miles. I'll do it. But how do you know what you're taking?
Right.
And some of the apps just don't have the privy to that, but I'm just saying that you do kind of need that information. I mean, if it's always going to be between $200 and $400, you don't maybe, but Once you start getting into the multiple thousands, you need to know. I mean, because most drivers don't have enough bags. Even if you do have catering bags and stuff, most don't have enough to do those orders.
Right. Thank goodness I do.
Yeah, I do too. And that's the thing. I'll get there. And if I ever were, I've never got like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I took that. That's only 3% that I'm being paid out of the order total. I shouldn't have done this $3,000 order for $200. It doesn't make sense now. Mm-hmm. I've never had that experience, but I am prepared with the bags to handle that job and then just not do one for them again if that happened to me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or at least get back to support and say, listen, if you can't provide me a total, I can't do these. Because there are some of the apps that never go above 500. So I also just don't worry about that. I'm willing to do what the workload is. But
yeah,
if people have used Delivered before, Delivered can get up into the, you know, I mean, I know that they've done ones in the 10,000s.
Is that the app that does tip sharing?
No, I think that's Deliver That, isn't it?
I don't know.
No, Delivered's just straightforward. Delivered shows you everything. They show you the total of the order, where you're picking up, so you can have an idea of how much food you're going to be carting.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no tip share there.
Okay.
And everything's up front. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about, though, because UDM talks about it, too. That's why I was going to say, well, maybe it's Delivered That, but maybe it's not Delivered That either. I'm not a big fan of tip sharing. I guess I'm not on any apps that do tip sharing. I'm not a big fan of that because I feel like we've all got into a bad place about like not trusting these. And I mean, and it's their fault, but not trusting these apps. So it's like if you're tip sharing, it's like, I mean, you might as well just be DoorDash then and just not tell me what the amount is and just pay me later. And if it's bad, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really down with that kind of stuff. So, but if it works out, I mean, I do know some of the ones I was just thinking of, and I was thinking of UDM specifically talks about one that he likes that. I think that is tip sharing too. And I think there's a way to understand it though. So it's a little more transparent than maybe what I'm saying here right now, but I'm glad to know that Zifty's already got you so busy. Cause even people on Delivered and stuff, when they get on, you kind of have to earn a couple, or like it's tough to get that many in a week.
Yeah, I was surprised. And when I came back out after that particular delivery, I had another one. So I just took it. I've got three this week. So, and they're all at like, you know, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Most of these are all at like right at 11 o'clock. So it'd be kind of cool if I could get like an 11, a 12, one, something like that. But we'll wait and see. We'll just wait and see how this app works.
So, I mean, was the, you don't have to say the exact amount, but what I mean, because it probably wouldn't make much difference to people not knowing all the details, but was the pay much better than you would have done on the apps you would normally traditionally work?
Okay, so today wasn't a very good payout for the miles.
And time,
because it really is like about an hour, and it was $19 for the run. It was 8 miles, but I did end up waiting for a while. But the delivery was like a quarter of a mile from the pickup,
mm-hmm.
and same with the one I'm doing tomorrow. It's in the Littleton area.
Okay,
so it's even better. And then the one I have on the 11th is also Southwest.
Right. So
they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
And they're all $19. The three that I've had are $19.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, you just got to make sure you're, you know, sometimes on some of those apps, I've picked up catering orders that are pretty far from me,
mm-hmm.
but they only are going a mile.
Yeah. Well, that's how it kind of was today for me. It was 8 miles. Yeah.
So that's when I have to factor in, okay, well, wait, I had to get there too. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the aftermath stuff you're doing in your head. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I had to drive all the way there. And, but as long as it still makes sense. And I think, especially where you, like, I haven't even done Zifty yet. And I mean, if I was starting Zifty this week, I'd be doing the same thing as you. I'd just take a few, just feel it out, understand it, see how the offers come in. And then you know, by the end of the week, you have a better understanding. Like, okay, I know what not to take. I know that I don't want to work with that catering company again or that location or, so yeah, exactly. I mean, catering people should know catering apps are, you know, they're kind of dominating right now.
They are. And I think that's what's happening with DoorDash. Actually, because there's no more.
Please catering. Explain to me what's happening with DoorDash. I can't wait to hear this.
So, my dog wants out, and I gotta let him out, or he'll sit here and cry. So of course they took the catering bag orders away and the large orders away. We don't have those anymore, and so I think is what's happening actually is companies are wanting to go through regular catering apps because of the integrity.
Yeah, I mean,
so I think that's what's happened, honestly.
No, and it is.
So,
I mean, I know for a fact, you know, like I used to get a lot of people who would email me through the podcast or whatever, but then I even know people. I mean, Gary Middleton, for one, I remember last year there was a graduation party and it was like a $900 catering order through DoorDash. And again, guys, I know that you're just waiting for me to pounce it. And I'll pounce it in a minute because I'm not real happy with DoorDash as normal. But DoorDash was not designed to be a catering app. And catering and food delivery are night and day. That is two different games. That's like rideshare and delivery. It's not even the same thing. Uh-huh. And the expectations on catering are much higher. The fact that you could unassign a catering or, you know, I mean, like people are like what I was mentioning about Gary, people are counting on that for a graduation party. They're counting on that. They can't have a driver not show or be late. Mm-hmm. Well, the person who was assigned the $900 worth of food canceled the order, probably because they found out it's all this. So they canceled, they unassigned it. Gary got assigned it. By the time Gary got there, he picked it all up. As he was leaving, it got canceled. He called DoorDash and they said, just keep it. $900 worth of food. Just keep it. They canceled the order. So here's my thing. Are those people ever using DoorDash again? No chance, no. Dude. And they're telling every family member. They're telling everybody that was at that graduation. Everybody. Yep. And so DoorDash's name already gets dragged through the mud just for how bad they are to customers, to drivers, to everybody.
Yes.
And to be in the catering space and say, hey, we don't even belong here, but we'll do it and screw it up for you. Like, that's just pathetic. That's just even too far for DoorDash.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, I mean, again, we've pointed this out before, but that's why I think that, you know, there's more catering apps than there are rideshare and food delivery total in this country. And they all popped up last year. So I think there's a clear reason for that.
Exactly.
You know, it's basically that these catering companies said, DoorDash can't do this.
Exactly. And there's not enough big drivers to continue to do large orders or the catering orders.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, I keep hearing mixed things about that LOP. So I wasn't sure. Is it gone?
It appears to be. I mean,
because I have people tell me, no, it's still around, or because I know that we were looking into it. And I got to say, like, from what I could tell, my answer is always like, or my response is always like, well, if it's around, it's barely hanging on. And I feel like it's going to be gone soon.
Because I don't get CBRs, catering CBRs. Yeah, CBRs, no catering bag required, even though I can go into a restaurant and need a catering bag, but they won't say it, you know. So you just you got to wait, arrive, see what's on your order, and then you got to decide which bag you take in because it doesn't say anymore.
Yeah.
The only thing they care about is a pizza bag.
Yeah. Is that the only thing that comes up now? Because I know pizza bag does come up.
But just the pizza bag seems to come up. Nothing else though.
That's I don't even understand. So if they do have a few last people on catering or LOP, like why would you not put the bag as needed? I mean, at this point, you've lost all your other customers. You're not even trying to fight for the few that you have.
Right. Exactly.
Sending a driver that doesn't have a catering bag is just not going to help you.
Nope.
You know, and it's, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't help the drivers either if it's a large order anyway.
You know, we say it all the time, but I mean, it's clear as day now. The company doesn't care about the drivers at all. Oh, gosh, no. I mean, a lot of these companies, like individually, do they care about Terry? Do they care about Steve? No, but some of the companies are better than others about caring for the overall drivers, mm-hmm. understanding that they're simply just a dispatch company.
Exactly.
And if, you know, without the drivers, you're nothing. So I really thought we'd start getting away from these days of like, just oversaturate it by 10 times what you need. Because I thought by now it would have like, because with the order volume dying down, with the prices going up, it seems like we've gotten to more of a point where you'd want veteran good drivers instead of let's just keep onboarding bad people.
Well, and you would think that they would know good drivers from the bad drivers from pictures.
They absolutely do.
You know? So
take AR out of the metrics. Like they know which ones are the good ones. Are you unassigning? If you don't unassign, if you're you know, sometimes like I'm not on time when I do DoorDash, but that's because they assign me orders because I think of my acceptance rating that couldn't be on time. Like I'll see it and I'm like, okay, this I'm picking it up and it's supposed to be delivered 2 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so this was literally assigned to me for being a bottom feeder.
Well, and I don't know that necessarily that. I just think maybe so many people have declined the order. And if you don't do a lot of orders, you don't stand a chance of getting better orders until you build back up. I think that's kind of how the catering apps are. You kind of work your way up. And I was kind of mentioning that this morning when I did my live on the way there, I was just like, you know, I think.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like I'm not necessarily against that either, because if I've always said that they're sending out this data to way too many people anyway, they don't even know that most of the people might be doing another app, multi-apping, whatever. So they know who really grabs them and takes them.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying favoritism, and it's supposed to be independent contractorship. So that doesn't work. No, it's just
the algorithm of you not being on all the time is all.
Right.
Yeah, because they don't know us. They don't know us personally. They just
right.
see what we do in the algorithm.
Right. But I mean, like you saw my live yesterday. Not one.
Not one.
And nor would anybody in there have taken it either.
Right.
I mean, they were all that bad.
Hard. I think it also makes it harder if they can't even give you one semi-decent order.
Yeah. I mean,
semi-decent order.
That was again, I don't do it nearly enough. It's mostly been para stuff when I am doing it. Mm-hmm. And back in the day for tip transparency. So there was a time I was doing a lot more, but these days there's no kind of rhyme or reason as to when I'll do DoorDash. So they don't even have a read on me at all. They don't understand like schematically or algorithm. They're like, what is this guy? He's like on here three times a month. And that's first of all on them anyway, because I can't schedule anything.
No, it's hard to schedule anymore either. Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, there's nothing. And like I saw Christopher Taylor was in the chat yesterday and he said, you know, sometimes I have to schedule half hour blocks. I see those. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Why would I schedule 9 to 9:30 on Friday night?
Yeah.
I mean, is that really in the hopes that at 9:30 I'm still needed? Because here it's so rare that it would be, because these days the volume just isn't there.
Right.
Sometimes I'll do nine. Like if I did a 9 to 9:30, let's say at 9:30, it'll tell me I'm done. I don't need, or, you know, we don't need you. You can't extend the dash. But then if I close the app and reopen it, but then if I close the app and I reopen it, I can sometimes dash like 15 minutes after that dash ended. So maybe the volume does pick up, or maybe they're like, oh, you still want to get back on. So I can't really tell what they're doing there. But offering me little half hour blocks, like I won't ever take one of those again.
Yeah, if scheduling is really hard here. It really is. If your numbers aren't decent, or if you don't schedule all the time. I have a friend that she waits literally she'll look at her phone like every 5 minutes to see if she can get on, and she'll take any moment that she can to get on to Dash Now or to a schedule, because she can't even schedule right now because she's not top Dasher.
So, yeah. But even the schedule, even if she's doing that, though, a lot of times if she gets the Dash Now, it's just going to say that you can do it for a half hour.
Yes, and sometimes it kicks her off if yep. there's not enough business. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's like they want you. Well, we all know that it's manipulation, and they want you out there, even when it says busy. You get out there and you don't get an order. So mm-hmm. like today it was gray, but I was getting diamond orders this morning after my catering. I mean, I probably did 58 dollars just in a couple hours, but they were all
but you seeing that top Dasher.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you in top Dasher?
I am.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. So you stay on that top Dasher tier. Mm-hmm. So even when it's gray, it doesn't matter. You're probably getting the orders. They're just making sure that the top Dashers aren't seeing that it's gray.
It is gray. And yeah. sometimes it's better to go out when it's gray, because yeah. some people, they'll open their app and be like, oh, it's gray, I'm not going out.
Yeah.
But
or they can't go out because it's
they
gray.
Can't.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I mean, I have a horrible acceptance rating. So,
and as top Dasher, I found as top Dasher, I cannot do earn by time. Not that I want to either. So
what I know we're both in Denver, but I know we're in different parts. What is earn by time for you there?
I think it was, gosh, one time I think I actually saw 1850. Maybe one time I saw.
I was just going to say, that's all I've ever seen. When it is available, like 1850.
1850, I think, yeah.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. And I can't.
I've been up in Summit County, I have seen $20.
Okay. Well, that would make sense up there.
But for those listening that don't know what Summit County is, that's up by Breckenridge and stuff, and it's very expensive. So, like, what would I be doing up there?
Tourist town, ski town.
Yeah, so... yeah, it's like the Airbnb $1 million houses. So
yes,
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. DoorDash DoorDash across the country is just beat right now, and there's way too many drivers. A lot of these drivers are definitely convinced that the oversaturation is the only factor. I don't think it is. I think the prices are killing people. I think that. I mean, on the customer side, and I mm-hmm. think that even a lot. They used to have they still like have the foothold of the United States, but they used to have such a presence that the bad customer service didn't show as much, but now they're passing along extra money and they're charging you more and this, that, and the other. And people are just, you know, everybody's kind of being a little tighter with their money. And I don't think people want that crappy service to pay 200% of what they'd go get that food for themselves.
Exactly. I can't grasp the concept of somebody paying $8 or $9 for one burrito that already costs them $8 or $9.
Well, and that's the other thing too, like you know, some of these restaurants, I know the menus and all of the items on the apps are $2 higher. So before you even get into the fees and the taxes and are you going to tip and this and that and the other, you're already getting taxed because you're paying more for each item.
Yeah. And if the Dash Pass, I think it's like 10 bucks a month. Mm-hmm. Too cheap. I think the Dash Pass should be, you know, at least 30 to 50 bucks a month. At least.
Right. But you still have to pay taxes. You still have to pay the ARP charge on the menu item. Sure. So they're still ripping you off.
Okay. Still at that.
It really is that menu item markup. Like, I don't know if you saw, but like, what's his name? Florida, DeSantis, passed in legislation last week that says that delivery platforms must use the menu prices from the location. They cannot be inflated across the board. Inflate. So Uber, Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash have to sell you the same Chipotle burrito at the same price. And it has to be the in-store price. But here's my thing too, is that when I brought this up before, people were like, well, they'll just pass it on to the customer. I'm like, oh, yeah, they'll pass it on to the customer. They'll take it out of the driver. But at this point, they're now going to take it out of the restaurant too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to say, well, guys, we've been upcharging your food by this. If we can't do that, we need to charge you a fee.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause a whole different problem too, because who's going to want to, I mean, I know some businesses count on DoorDash and stuff. Like that's probably 50% of their business, so they need it. But what are those fees going to look like to restaurants?
Exactly.
You know, like, I mean, it's going to become like a Dash Pass, but for a restaurant, it's going to be like, hey, pay us $1,000 a month and we'll, what? You know, I thought that you had all this taken care of. Exactly. Right. We were upcharging your food. Now we can't do that. So,
yeah.
I guess my point being is they're never like, I love that idea, to be honest. Like, I'm not always on the same wavelength as DeSantis, but to be honest, like, I love that idea. I think it's great. I think every state should apply that. It should be the menu prices. But what's going to happen? There's no way these companies take that hit. They're going to pass it along to drivers, customers, and they don't even care about their customers. Customers, restaurants, they're going to pass it on to everybody. They're not going to take that. They're not going to absorb those. That's an
extra expense restaurants never had before.
Yeah. And now the restaurants have become somewhat addicted or they need the platforms a bit. And I mean, there was a time during the pandemic that without those platforms, they wouldn't have done any business.
Exactly.
So, but now they've become like addicted, just like a lot of people have. And I mean, honestly, it's, you know,
it is.
I mean, Long Island Dash experience. I've mentioned this a bunch of times, but Lou had, you know, he had mentioned how, you know, people got in the pandemic, they got into some bad habits and they're addicted to these food platforms. They were getting pandemic money. We weren't doing as much, things were closed and they got addicted. And the only control factor that the customer still has is the tip.
Yes.
That's it. Nothing else is, I mean, the only other thing that is in their control is just don't use them.
Right.
But his point was these people are addicted. Like, and even like on whatever level you want to call it addicted, psychologically, whatever, but he's like, they're addicted. They're using these apps and now they're going, well, I can't afford this. What can I do? And the only thing you can do is cut the tip out.
Exactly. Yep.
If you really are going to go
out and they don't want to get out and get their own food.
Yeah. But I mean, this is not, to me, this is not to the average person, this is not a thing you can use even once, twice a week. You can't use these.
Shouldn't be. No.
I mean, like if you are, I mean, that's not what I'm saying is the average person can't afford that.
I hear people that use the DoorDash a lot. Well, I'm broke. I don't have any money, but that they're trying to still order DoorDash.
Right. Right. And it's not like the old days of rideshare where you can open DoorDash and go, well, that's pretty expensive. And then open Uber Eats and see if it's a little cheaper.
Right.
I mean, they might differ in price a little bit, but they're pretty, I mean, pretty much by the end of the order and when you're hitting done, it's going to be that same $90.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I just don't know how many more people can do this. Like when it comes to grocery delivery and that kind of stuff, that's a little different. You know, that's a service that maybe a lot of people need. And maybe it does still make sense to them. But when it comes to food delivery, I just don't see how. I mean, you saw my part of my live yesterday. They were trying to send me 18 miles away all the time.
Yes.
So even if I had been on Earn by Time.
Was that Uber or did you only have DoorDash on yesterday?
I had them both on in the beginning. I ended up turning Uber off because Uber is trying to send me like to Fort Collins and stuff. I was like, what are you doing, dude? I'm not going to Greeley to deliver McDonald's.
$5.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything was far, but then the ones on DoorDash were far too. And I was thinking to myself, see, this is where the Earn by Time wouldn't even help me anyway. I don't want to make $18 to drive 50 miles in an hour to deliver food.
Yeah. It's almost like they want people that don't use the platform as much to not want to use it anymore so that they can get new drivers out there, onboard new drivers that'll possibly take. Well, then they have the the honeymoon period where they send you all the good orders, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, now they're sending me all this trash. And
yeah,
so
I mean,
it's just a head game. It's a gamble. It really is a gamble. If you log on to DoorDash, you are taking a gamble. Your gas is your money, and it's like pulling this lever on the slot machine. You're either going to get a good one or you're not. And the more you put in, the more you play. Who knows?
I mean, and there's to everybody listening, if you guys probably know Kim's Side Money Plans, even my audio podcast listeners, you guys all know her. She has her own audio podcast going as well now, so check that out. But Kim even tells me, so Kim's a top dasher. She goes into the app, kind of like your friend, every day. She goes that day that's booking out every day as it comes processed.
Right.
And even as a top dasher, she takes all the blocks she can and schedules them.
Yep.
And I'm always like, I see what you're doing, but come on. And she's like, no, my market's over. I'm sick of this.
It's hard for some people to even get on.
I guess her point was like, hey, I'm the one killing myself to get top dasher. Like, I'm gonna schedule myself too. That's so they right. think a scheduled person is coming out to work.
That's right.
Even if it takes it out of the hands of another person. So I get that. And honestly, that even makes sense to me, but that shouldn't be on Kim. That should be the platform caring enough to not let 3,000% of the amount of people needed work.
No, exactly. It's just like me when I start counting my deliveries for the month. It's like, well, if I want to get my top dasher, I got to get the 100 deliveries.
Yeah. I don't have all the answers. We've tried playing with different theories, and I've said that, before they start pushing market caps down everybody's throat, maybe just kind of like, I mean, how, here's my, again, this is my experience. Other people might not feel this way. So if I open up the app on a Friday night, I'm like, you know what? I want a dash. And it says to me, try back in a little bit, instead of like dash now and all these tiers.
Right.
If it just said, try back in a little bit, we're not that busy at the moment. That reminds me of like the call-in days for like the bar and stuff. Like if you were the late last wait bartender on, you'd be calling in and they might have you come in an hour too late. Mm-hmm. So it's like you'd get a little more time at home. And I'll be honest, I'd much rather see that. That wouldn't even make me mad at them. I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to do it tonight then.
Exactly. Then to put things like it's busy, and then you get out there and there's no business, and
yeah,
or dash now, and then you get it's tough to wait for that all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, we used to talk about that with Sergio, and I've talked about this many a times with rideshare. Like they'd always like same as food. They'd show these zone, the hot zones. Like you should be here. That's positioning on the apps part. Like mm-hmm. Sergio and I as rideshare drivers knew to not be in those zones because we knew the fishing holes. So we would not go to those on purpose. Cause we're like, dude, you're not going to direct me.
Yeah, and everybody.
I'm not going to go populate an area you want me to be at. I know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually not those. I don't know. Maybe in delivery, that's not as much the same. But with rideshare, it was. You definitely were better off, I think, not going to those.
No, I don't. I try not to go to the hot zones because there are people sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
There always is somebody there waiting.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I just think that they're burning too many bridges. They think they're seeing all these orders getting taken, and you and I are living in Denver in a time when Denver's going through some issues with bringing too many people to this town. And I'm not just talking about the California explosion. It's like, we're now a migrant city too.
Yes.
And it's just, I think they're seeing it as well. Everybody's, hey, if these dollar orders get taken, they get taken. And my thought is yeah, but like you've lost the LOP, like we talked about earlier. Like at least even if like some of you out there are going, no, it's still in my market. Yeah, okay. Well, Postmates is still in some markets.
Yeah, but how often are you going to get a Postmates?
Well, no. Here's I don't know. Not everybody knows this, but the reason that they do that is when Uber took over Postmates, if more people in a market were using the Postmates app than Uber Eats, they actually kept the Postmates app.
Okay.
So still to this day, like in California, there's some markets that still to this day use Postmates in a market.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just come to the driver. It comes through the Uber app.
Oh, okay.
Because Uber owns them.
Okay.
But to the customer, they were like, well, no, I mean, like in our market, I don't think you can download the customer Postmates app. But like in Californian markets, you can, because it's still big there. And really, that company's been out of business for 3 years.
Crazy.
But I guess my point becomes, you know, like, I mean, why not just start doing it a little right? I mean, I see what they're doing, and I just don't get the strategy anymore, because if you're jacking the prices up this much and the volume's this down, you've lost the LOP. What are you trying to do anymore?
0 point.
I know, but they have to have a plan. There's got to be some plan. You know, like if there's got to be some trajectory they're trying to do, and I can't figure it out.
It doesn't make sense, and I can't figure it out either.
Yeah. I mean, I put up
apps are cut. They're changing so much all the time.
Yeah.
And there's more apps coming on to, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if I see DoorDash, how much longer I see them lasting like they did. Like every month has changed. Everything went.
Do you think Uber Eats or DoorDash is better in our market?
I think it just kind of depends on what you work more. So I try to get most of my orders for DoorDash done like in my first 2 weeks or so, so I can try Uber, because mm-hmm. I've been tip baited before on Uber, but I seem to get better orders and better tips, better mm-hmm. opportunities to get better tips as well,
because yeah.
you can communicate better.
Yeah,
I think
for somebody like me, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I know yesterday was not a shining example of either app, and a 6 p.m. on Sunday, not every Sunday's great at that time, so whatever. But I honestly think for probably if I did a long study on it, I'm probably better off with Uber Eats.
Oh, yeah.
Just being honest.
I got to be honest too. I've only done like 1 or 2 days of just Uber only, but it mm-hmm. seemed like every order would get better. They'd still send you a bunch of trash. You know, right. I'd decline 4 or 5 orders before I'd get something decent, but they don't hold it against you.
Right. And that's my point. Like, I mean, I can get on Uber at any time, like the old Dash nowadays, where when that was just a feature you didn't have to earn, you just had it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you shouldn't have to
earn stuff like that. And that's how they hook you.
Well, but Uber still isn't doing it. I mean, I'm not saying their model is good.
I'm talking about DoorDash.
I feel like Uber, I mean, again, this is just me, because DoorDash is only here in the United States. They do have the foothold of the United States, but they're only here.
Right.
Like even up in Canada, they don't have them. They have a Skip the Dishes. They do have DoorDash, but our Cheyenne, who joins us on the roundtable, she says that DoorDash is the Grubhub of Canada.
Okay.
Like that's the one you don't see any orders on is DoorDash.
Okay.
But you'll see on Skip the Dishes, which is the Grubhub of Canada, and Uber Eats is the kingpin of Canada. And so therefore, and I know this from other countries too, like Uber Eats and Uber is global. I think they're just waiting out DoorDash. Sometimes. I mean, I also, you know, I know what size company DoorDash is, but I just don't see what they're doing.
They're not doing good.
Right. I mean,
they're not doing good by anybody. The drivers, the restaurants, the customers, nobody.
But still 70% of customers choose DoorDash. Choose
DoorDash. Because why? I'm confused.
I don't know.
I'm confused.
I mean, probably advertising, and they've got comfortable with it is the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, the days of like comparing apps, like for us non-app workers, you might not have Uber Eats and DoorDash. You might just have DoorDash now as right. a customer. And so there used to be a time when people had all the food apps and they'd compare. No. Let's look. But I don't think that's really, I think people have saddled up to who they like now.
Yes.
And I don't know, again, I don't know why it'd be DoorDash that you like, but okay.
I know. I don't know why I keep sticking with it, but it does work for me.
I mean, but everybody in the United States, even if they're mad at DoorDash, they're going to probably say, most people are going to say DoorDash is the one where I can earn the most money.
I mean, I guess so. I guess it really depends on the person, how the person uses their app, how often they use their app.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of with you. I think that one of the biggest downfalls, we talk about oversaturation all the time, but I think one of the biggest downfalls is really the fact that the volume is so down and that they're still onboarding at that tremendous rate. Like, oversaturation now is so bad that, like you were saying, there's just nothing out there. I mean, there's just, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? Get everybody driving one order a night? I remember the days of DoorDash where you'd see 60 in an hour.
Right. I mean, even a year ago when I started, it was really good. Even after my honeymoon period was over, it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
But like the last, since probably December, it's just gotten worse. Even though I made my most money in January and February, March, it was like somebody flipped a switch in March.
So do you dash out of your zone? Like, yes. Do you schedule in other zones, or do you plan on going to other zones, or?
No, I do like the Southwest area.
Right. Yeah.
And then
which is where you're at. I do my area, but I'm wondering if like you have better luck going to other areas.
Well, I go like, I do Highlands Ranch.
Okay.
Columbine.
Okay.
Centennial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Lone Tree. Yeah. I get it. A lot of people out there are probably going like, I don't know any of these places.
I was out in Lone Tree, out at Lone Tree today, and it's kind of confusing out there because the roads wind and twist. And
oh yeah,
I like my.
They're like those maze neighborhoods.
Yeah, I like my squared off neighborhoods, alphabetical order.
Yeah, yeah, and that was another thing too. I think that last night was just another. It showed me that. It has not gotten any better. If anything, it's gotten worse. It drives me nuts when they're telling me, go pick up, like I said last night, there was a Chipotle right out my window. And they're telling me, pick this up and take it to the airport. You and I both know there's three Chipotles out by the airport.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get one of the ones on Tower Road? Why are you trying to get me out there?
That happens with me with McDonald's and stuff out in Highlands Ranch. But then I had somebody comment saying that the customer doesn't necessarily have the say of which McDonald's or whatever Chipotle it comes out of.
Yeah, of course they don't. But my point is, DoorDash is a dispatch company. The only thing that they're supposed to do is say, where's the customer? Where's the closest restaurant? Okay, they can't even do that.
No.
I mean, the only thing I started coming up with in my head is like, are they like trying to make, you know, more balance out? Like, this McDonald's isn't used as much as that one. Let's try and get some more. But even that, like, why would you want the food to get there cold? Why would you want?
There's no rhyme or reason for that. So I don't understand that either.
You know, and why do you need me to drive 18 miles? Because yes, I'm sure that there's not as many, but if there was nobody driving out by the airport, it would be saturated tomorrow. Like, even me, I would go out there and I would drive for the day if that's how much volume was out there. So there's our drivers out there. Why aren't you just sending somebody the 2 miles instead of trying to get me to do 18?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, I don't know. It seems like really simple. It seems like a very simple algorithm to say, here's the customer, where's the closest McDonald's? Like, not easy. Yeah, let's say I'm going to Lakewood, pick it up and go to the airport. Like,
but why? And then get a violation because your food's cold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense at all. DoorDash does not make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, Uber Eats isn't that much different either. I mean, the fact that I can get on anytime, and again, I'm very familiar with Uber's interface because I've been doing rideshare since 2015, so I just feel more comfortable on Uber Eats, and I don't have as much of a beef with them as I do with DoorDash either. Like, I got a real problem with DoorDash. They are just as conniving as a company comes.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, as untransparent, anywhere they can be untransparent, they will. Anywhere they can be sneaky, they will. Anywhere they can gamify, they will. Having multiple tiers, acceptance ratings, things they can't use, metrics they can't use. I mean, this new telematics thing. I mean, I don't think
we have that here.
I don't think we have
telematics here.
No, I don't think so either yet.
Not yet. I mean, we might, but not yet. Not here.
So that's one thing I wanted to know. Did you ever do Instacart or Spark or no?
No.
Okay.
I've thought about doing Instacart and Spark, but the cases of water deter me.
Yeah, no, I mean, Spark, I was asking because like Tony, the driven dad, and I, we were, and Lisa too, before she had the baby, we were all like trying to figure Spark out, but Spark never popped here in Denver. That's why I was checking if you had tried it, because it never did hear what it did for so many other people. People were like, fell in love with Spark, like it was the new thing when it came out for a long time.
Well, and I think that's happening again. I hear a lot of people talking about Spark and like, you know, Spark is the 2024 app.
Yeah, but it has a real, like if Kim's Side Money Plan, she's talked about this a lot. It has some real issues about, fake accounts and
the bots.
Yeah, there's just, I don't know that it is anymore. I think there's more sketchiness going on with Spark than DoorDash, but I think that it's just.
Most definitely.
It's just that people are easier, for whatever reason, people are easier to walk away and go, I'm never doing Spark again, and really won't. I've heard many people go, I'm never doing DoorDash again. The next day they're doing it.
Right.
So there's some addiction level there, even as a driver.
There is an addiction level. I even have it on my notes. I'm like, why is dashing so addicting? Why?
Because people remember making lots of money. I think it's like a gambling thing.
Money. It is a gambling thing.
You know?
It is. I totally believe that
it is. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like when we say there's no transparency, it's like DoorDash is like, yeah, we know. That's what we count on, is you guys gambling all day.
Mm-hmm. And it is a gamble. It is. And you got to know when to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they've done, though. I think they've created a gambling mentality where people are like, okay, it sucked yesterday. And I said, I swore I'd never do it again, but I'm going out today.
But going out, it is an addiction. I don't care what people say, it is an addiction. I think all of the apps in some form of way is an addiction, because we want to work for ourselves.
Yeah, well, and that's why we multi-app, and that's why I tell people.
Multi-apping and...
I always tell people, check out an app in your area too. Don't just go, if somebody says, oh, it doesn't work for me, that doesn't mean it won't for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you might find yourself in a market where it's huge and it's the app you should be on.
Yep.
So
well, it's like the Curry app, you know, you kind of, when we talked, kind of eased my fears about multiple 5-gallon buckets.
Oh, I'll do it after the show, but I even like took some screenshots today. I had five orders from noon until we started this that were under 10 pounds.
Nice. See?
So, I mean, these are like, I mean, they're less than DoorDash weight, but they pay good.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on it for that 90 days before I get booted.
Well, no, you can always just get reactive. They just don't like sending data out. You don't get booted. They just don't send you data, because their concern is that people have gone, you know what, this isn't working for me, and they delete the app, but they don't tell the company. And so they're still sending you the data.
Okay.
And they're a smart company. They're like, well, we don't want to send you the data if you don't want to use it. Okay. But if you find yourself going 90 days and not doing one, you just email reactivation at Curry and they put you right back on.
Gotcha.
So it's more just about them trying to, because they've been profitable since the first year they launched. These other companies can't find a profit to save themselves. So, you know, and then, and here we are again at 200% plus, and they can't make any money.
Yep.
So, I mean, what did y'all learn today? You learned that DoorDash is getting worse and worse and worse.
Day by day, month by month.
I mean, it really is starting to feel like. I don't do it as much as so many people I know. So I watch myself when I'm talking about it, because I don't. but
I noticed it when you look at your bar graph, you know, when you open up your app and you look at your bar graph, you can see, and it takes longer to make the money before, you know, like in January, December and January, I was, and even in February, I was banking it pretty good. Like I was like, yeah. LOP and, you know, all the catering and then boom, March came and it just like shut off.
Yeah.
Just shut off.
I know it's, I honestly think they're just losing a lot of business. And I think, and then there's people that can't afford it who are starting to realize they can't afford it. But I think that people are going to catering apps. I think people are going to, maybe even customers are going to Uber Eats, but the volume just isn't there. Maybe the expense alone is making people go, I'm not going to use DoorDash or Uber Eats. I'm done.
Exactly. And then companies, of course, are going to be going to the catering apps because of the integrity of the food and and the app itself.
If I was a restaurant or if I was a customer, I wouldn't use DoorDash. I would absolutely use a catering app.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what's happened with the LOP and the catering apps and DoorDash, is that they're being sent out to the catering apps now. Because
so I like having a question at the end of the episode. So that'll be it to all the listeners. You guys know how to contact me. You can email me at steve@rideshare-rodeo.com. But is LOP gone? That's the, I guess that'll be the question today. And I'm not even just saying like, is it missing in your market or this or that or the other, but is it gone? I mean, if for you, any way you want to answer that question, but like, is the LOP gone? Because I'm starting to think it is, and maybe people don't even know that it's gone.
It's definitely,
you know, but I think we'll see. But well, folks, that's a wrap for the day. I want to thank Terry for joining me, and make sure to check out her YouTube channel. You can find the link to her YouTube channel in the podcast notes. Thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next week on the Rideshare Rodeo. Until next week. Thanks for being here. Until next week, be safe, earn smart, and be good to each other, everybody. She was just a baby.